they can switch to my portable phone, microphone, and the lapel phone here, and they will be recording. Let's pray as we're going to look in the book of Proverbs this evening. Heavenly Father, we come together to study God's Word, and in the evening service, we search for Jesus in the Old Testament. And thank you, Lord, that we can look for Him, and we can see the typology and many expressions. We just pinpoint one or two, and we are satisfied the coherence of the Bible and the uniqueness of the Bible. Even though the books are maybe 1,400 years apart, Lord, how blessed we are that they speak about one thing, a Savior that came from heaven. Thank you, Father. Help us to honor Christ tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight our study, as you see, is on the book of Proverbs. And to me, in the book of Proverbs, the Lord Jesus is pictured, at least one of the pictures that I took, is that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Now, as a way of introduction, we will review again each one of these books. We studied, number one, Genesis, Christ, the seed of the woman, remember? And then the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus. Exodus, the Passover lamb. Leviticus, the high priest. We study on Numbers, the brazen altar. And then Deuteronomy, the prophet of God. We study in Joshua, who was the savior of our soul. And then in Judges, Christ was the judge and the Lord a giver. Then in Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. Then in 1 Samuel, in 2 Samuel, the intercessor. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the reigning king. And then in Ezra, the faithful scribe. And then we went into Nehemiah, and we saw in Nehemiah the builder of the wall. And then in Esther, the great, the one greater than Mordecai. And I think there is one more to show in Psalms. But you know what? I never taught you Psalm. So next Sunday, I go back and teach you Psalm. And then Psalm is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, the shepherd of Israel. Of course, in the Psalm, you can have hundreds of pictures, but this is one. All right, this is so far for the insight into this. The topic discussion for tonight is the book of Proverbs and its relationship to the Lord Jesus. Now, remember that, the book of Proverbs and its relationship to the Lord Jesus. And I'd like to review something, you know, the general information. And the first scripture is in the book of Luke in chapter 24. And two scriptures. One is verse 27. Jesus talking to two disciples in verse 27. He walked with them in the way to Emmaus. And in verse 27, the disciples were very discouraged, because they indeed saw the crucifixion. They had put the trust in Jesus, but now Jesus is dead. And he was walking with them, and they never noticed. And so Jesus, to wake them up, look at verse 27, what he did. And beginning at Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, and all the prophets, that's the rest of the Bible, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. The only thing that will wake people up to the gospel is the scripture. Don't try any gimmick. Don't try any scientific proof. We study at 4 o'clock that the only proof that we have of the Bible is the fulfillment of prophecy. That's a tremendous proof. And what else are you going to have? People will not believe anything else. And God will not use anything else to trigger faith. He will use his word. Now, in verse 44, in the same chapter, he is no longer with the disciples. With his two disciples, he's with the other disciples, the 11 disciples. And now he has to wake them up. And in verse 44, the Bible said that he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled that were written, or which were written in the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Once again, Jesus emphasized that the only thing that will wake people's appetite about him is the scripture. Now, the next scripture is in the Gospel of John, in chapter 5 and in verse 39. And there Jesus talking to professionals, to people who were already remarkable teachers and doctors of the Hebrew law, the Pharisees. And he said these words to them, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And so that's very important, even for a pastor, that the only thing that they will testify about God is the scripture itself. The key is Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 7. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 7, to me, I found a summary of what the Bible says, where to find Jesus is the most rewarding text for me. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 and in verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me," or is written, yeah, "it's written of me to do thy will, O God." So it's in the volume of the Bible, in the volume of the pages of this Bible, that we have the information written about the Lord Jesus, and information that we needed so badly if we're going to prove something or enlighten somebody with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the general information, and that's a trademark that we've been there for 14 times doing this. Now we go to the specific information on the book of Proverbs. So we open our Bibles in the book of Proverbs, and the key verse of the book of Proverbs, you will find it in chapter 1 and in verse 4. And there are then three things that God wants to tell his son. Remember, he wrote the book of Proverbs for his son, so that he must have wisdom in life. And in chapter 1 and in verse 1, said the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And then verse 4 said, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. That's the key of the book of Proverbs. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And so we're going to take those three words, subtility, we're going to take the word knowledge, and we're going to take the word discretion, and see what these three words give us an information concerning later on concerning Jesus, but at least the instruction of Solomon to his son. Point A, the first thing that Solomon wants his son to learn is wisdom. Now, you see the word subtlety. We have to go to chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 5. Chapter 8 and verse 5. And the same word that writes subtlety in there in chapter 1, verse 4, is used here in verse 5, but it's translated different. Let me read it for you. Chapter 8, verse 5, "O ye simple, understand wisdom." That's the word subtlety. "Understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of understanding heart." So the word wisdom, the word subtlety is translated in verse 5, wisdom. Move your Bible to chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs, and then on verse 10. In chapter 2 and in verse 10, we read and the same thing, the same word that is translated subtlety in verse 4 is translated wisdom here. And verse 10 said, "When wisdom enter into the heart," said the Bible, "and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." When wisdom enter into the heart. And so the first thing that Solomon wanted his son to learn is that he wanted his son to learn wisdom. That when wisdom enters into the heart, that's the most important part of their life. And he makes this writing so the possibilities are that the wisdom of God will come into the heart. It's not that we go into wisdom, wisdom come into to us. That's a very, very important issue. And so the first issue, subtlety, becomes wisdom, and wisdom then needs to be in our heart. Now, B, there is a second thing that we read in Proverbs 1:4. We read about wisdom, and then we read about knowledge. And the second thing Solomon wanted his son to learn is understanding what God really wants. So let's go to chapter 2 and verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And that's the word that is translated knowledge in verse 4. Understanding. It's not just memorizing facts. It's not just have a record of things. It's understanding what you see. I can see Solomon. The Bible said he was the wiser man ever exist. He's saying, first, you need the wisdom of God into your heart. And then when you have the wisdom of God into your heart, then you start understanding everything that happened around you. And it's so truthful for us believers. Once we become believers by the grace of God, that the wisdom of God is placed into our heart, we start understanding the things around us and have a greater comprehension of the things of life. And then the third thing that I want Solomon wanted his son really to learn is that he wanted his son to learn a good balanced mind. Look at in verse 4 in chapter 1 said, subtility to the simple and to the young man knowledge, and then the word discretion. And discretion means to have a real balanced mind. And if you go, there is a great text in the New Testament in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and in verse 7. Believe me, this is one of those jewels of the Bible. It's in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible said this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and look at here, of a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind who has balance, who understand the requirements of God. And so Solomon writes, you know, how many chapters in the book of Proverbs? 31. And the last chapter talks about?
Wife.
The wife. I tell you, Ramsey, you are close to get married. I can see that. I can see that you are on the right track, all right? You got wisdom. Don't panic. Don't panic. Okay. So here is what it is. Then he writes to his son so that he can manage his life. As you know, his son disobeyed every one of these things, and Israel became divided forever because of his son's disobedience, starting the financial arena and so on. And you know why? He asked counsel to the young people. Rather than having a balanced mind in his Congress, he depend only on the young people, and that's where he made a mistake. First thing that Solomon wants is that his son, let the wisdom of God penetrate into your heart. That's very important. And then secondly, you need to understand now life from a different perspective. You understand life from the perspective of God. And then when you have that, then you have to have a balanced life, understanding what people do, understanding what God requires, and understanding how to handle life with people. A king needs to deal with people, and he was not only a king in the sense of administration, but in the Bible, kings were judges also. And then they need to completely understand what's going on. Now let's move to the message of the study tonight. In the message is this, who is the personification of wisdom then? If wisdom needs to come into your heart. Some people think that wisdom is a kind of philosophy that you follow through and you understand life through that kind of philosophy. But it's not so. What is the personification of wisdom? If we go on Proverbs chapter 2 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." The Lord giveth wisdom. Now, what is that kind of wisdom? The book of Corinthians really reflects what that is in 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, and in verse 30, we have identified what God has in mind when he talks about wisdom. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 30, the Bible identifies wisdom as this: "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us," what God, what is it? First thing that he's made unto us, wisdom. So when Christ, remember when we started in the picture, we started the wisdom need to come to you. And when Christ come to you, then you become aware of what's going on in life. We just thought at 4 o'clock about finding Christ. Well, Christ is not lost. We are lost. So we are found of Christ, really, technically. Excuse me. Technically, that's what it is. We are found of Christ. And so when Christ finds us and he penetrates our life, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. That's absolute wisdom. You understand life for an entire different perspective comes into you when you have Christ Jesus in your life. And the emphasis on the book of Proverbs is that wisdom of God may penetrate your life. Now we understand life an entire different way, and you become wiser than any person around you. You don't need a college degree to be wiser with God. You need the wisdom of God penetrate into your life. Now, how do I know I have this wisdom in my heart? How do I know I have this wisdom in my heart? Move your Bible to the book of James, a very wonderful books. They speak about wisdom also. And in chapter 3 in the book of James, and in verse 17, we have a example of the behavior of an individual who does have the wisdom of God, and what we can expect in our life when we have the wisdom of God within us. Look at what the Bible says. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." So the first thing that comes into our life is purity. When you have the wisdom of God, we want to live a pure life. Was Jesus pure? Yes, indeed. All right, it's purity. Then peaceful. The thing that you need to have in your life is peace. And you look as much as possible. Remember Romans, when you get to chapter 12, you will learn in Romans that the Bible said, "Concerning you, if it's possible for you, be at peace with all men." Peaceful, all right? And look at gentle. What do you think a gentle is? Being gentle. Yeah, you're meek. You know you have the power to do something, but you relax. And you know, like Moses was a meek man. He had power with God, but he was kind, extremely kind, gentle. You see, and then they said, easy to be entreated. What that mean? Easy to be entreated. Pardon me? Easy to deal with. You're not complicated. See, not complicated. You see, that's the wisdom of God. If I had to explain you something and it's extremely complicated, that's not the wisdom of God. That's not the wisdom of God. If I tell you I want to reveal you something secret, that's not the wisdom of God, all right? Easy to be entreated, full of mercy. What that means concerning us, full of mercy. Pardon me? Forgiving. Now, you have children and irritate you sometimes, and you told them 200 times things to do, and they fail. Mercy. Raquel was reading with me. I don't know. We heard over the television. Read Psalm 136, and I can't picture. Do you know that every verse said, because God is rich in mercy, because God is rich in mercy. And the man was reading love, and I knew that love is not in the Hebrew. So I said, no, that word is mercy. So we went into our Bible, and we follow. And Psalm 136 talks about that God's full of mercy, full of mercy. God created the world full of mercy. Because people, pardon me? Yeah, his mercy endures forever. Thank you, brother. And I said, why he repeats every verse? God created the moon. His mercy endures forever. It's because we tell people, God created the moon, and they laugh about us. And so I said, now it makes sense to me. Be merciful, be forgiven about those people who do not understand what God said. So the wisdom of God is easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits. What is good fruits? What do you think it is? Good fruits. Eat all the soup the mama tell you, or what? What is good fruit? Okay, Galatians 5 speaks in verse 20 and 21, it speaks of the good fruit. Without partiality, what does that mean? Wisdom of God, we had no partiality. Romans talks about in 2:11. Remember, respect. God's no respecter of persons. So we say the truth with kind and love, regardless what the person is. We have to tell him what the truth is, and without hypocrisy. What that means? Without hypocrisy. We don't say one thing and we do another one. So we watch our life, all right? And that's the job for now on until we die. Is that right? That's the job that we have. Constantly to do, watching our steps, what we said, and how we behave. And so, how do I know I have this wisdom in my heart? Because I experience from time to time, and I see in my life the fruits of the behavior that James 3:17 says. I read it again. By the wisdom that is from above, is first pure. I see in my life purity, then peacefulness, and gentleness. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Then you know that the wisdom of God has penetrated you. See, this kind of wisdom, you do not learn it in university. This kind of wisdom, you do not acquire in any school. This is when God penetrates into your heart, then flows through you. If we have to come to senses, that unless God does the work, we do not produce it. We produce an imitation. But the reality is when God comes into your life. And so going back to the book of Proverbs is the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ must penetrate into our life so that we become wise. So what should be then the most desirable thing as parents or grandparents for our children? What will be the most that we desire for them? That they know the Lord. That God in his mercy will penetrate in their life. And when Jacqueline talks about the Lord, and Emma now talks about the Lord, and the little one repeats what the other said, my heart really is happy. Because I can see that they are around the teaching of God, and one day that penetration comes and it's clearly, I can see it, and one of them clear as can be. And so that's the greatest joy, because if you want to set up a child for life, the wisdom of God has to penetrate their life. And so the book of Proverbs is the greatest book. Solomon was the greatest man, and he was the greatest man in all kinds of wisdom, said Jesus. But when he talks about his son, the only thing he's concerned is that the wisdom of God may penetrate his life. His son rejected, unfortunately, and make a mess. Jehoram make a mess of Israel, a terrible mess. And Israel was divided for the first time into Judah and Israel because his son disobeyed the father. May God grant unto us that all our children know the Lord. And if that's the only thing they know, be happy. Be happy. The mathematics, you can learn it. Physics, whatever you study, you can learn it. There is one thing that you cannot do, is have the wisdom of God in you. But when God penetrates that wisdom, how blessed we are. How blessed we are. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom. Thank you for giving us in mercy the revelation from God. And Lord, we who have Jesus Christ, help us to look upon the scriptures with seriousness. The Bible talks about purity. The Bible talks about without hypocrisy. And so help us to read over and over in the book of James and find our pattern for life so that we can be an example to those who look to us. Thank you for Jesus, who is the wisdom that we need. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Any question, any addition, subtraction? All right.
One of the things that we're talking about today, all the money, all the wisdom that Solomon had, when he wrote Ecclesiastes, he finished in 12:13, saying, what is the conclusion of it all? Fear God.
Mm-hmm. So you that's good. You can see that Solomon has in mind God. As a, yes. Yeah, yeah, in James, remember? Yeah. Yeah, in James 1, 5, and 6 said, if you lack wisdom, you ask God. You don't go to university, you ask God. So you know they're talking about Christ without wavering. Yeah, without wavering. Beautiful. Thank you, class. That has been great. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And thank you for your endurance of a big day in the house of God. You made my day, and I tell people with pride, that some of you make a real sacrifice, and has become a real joy. And I tell you what, it has become a good testimony to Christine and Lee Prater, and we need to pray for them. They've been in situations very awful because they were members of situations, and now he's coming out. And he told me this. He said, you know, Pastor, I need to take my brainwash it away and learn all things. So don't try to do it little by little. You listen little by little. Yeah, you will do it. So thank God that we have this couple with us. Okay, God bless you. And listen tonight at 12:30. It will be Mexico against somebody.